I guess this is a body. Like, it's hard to tell what you're actually looking at. It's just sort of like,
yeah,
a white,
it's just legs. Blob. It's very white though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very bright white. So,
yeah. And I think you can get, well, never mind. People don't need to know. You don't need to go look. It's fine. Don't Google it.
Yeah. Don't Google it.
I'm Paige.
And I'm Megan.
And this is Spooky Science Sisters.
Yes, hello. You're listening to Spooky Science Sisters, a podcast where we present to you a science-based and probably very giggly discussion on all things strange and unusual. Today, I am super excited to be joined by substitute sister Geo Rutherford, an artist, author, and amateur limnologist who is also known as Geodosaurus, which I think is how it's pronounced or would be pronounced on TikTok. And my use of her signature greeting probably already tipped many of you off, but we are going to be talking today about spooky lakes. So, Geo, do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little about who you are and what you do?
I definitely feel like you covered it. So, my name is Geo. It's technically short for Georgina, but my mother's a geologist with a bad sense of humor, and so I've always gone by Geo my whole life. And I started TikTok during the pandemic, like many of us did. And it was kind of just for fun. And it kind of blossomed into an account dedicated to lake-related content. Mm-hmm. And all of my artwork up until that point, I'm a working artist. And I was in graduate school in Milwaukee. And all of the work that I had been doing in graduate school was about the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. Which is what prompted me to start sharing Great Lakes-related content. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I tumbled into this by accident, like a Alice in a rabbit hole.
Yeah. So. I almost feel like I probably don't have to introduce you because I think like quite a bit of my audience comes from people who found us on TikTok. And I'm guessing that the overlap with you is like quite large. So
yeah, it's always interesting to know what people's like For You pages look like, you know,
because yeah.
if they follow me, then they probably run into you. If they follow you, they probably run into, you know, Astro Alexandra and stuff like that. So,
right. Yeah,
there's a lot of overlap.
Yep. There's a lot of overlap. Yeah. And so I'm just really lucky to get to talk to people who are doing awesome things on there like you. So we'll talk a little bit more about Spooky Lake stuff in a minute. But first, we will do something spooky. Like always. So I will start so you know, I don't know what to expect, although mine are a little bit random. I have two things. My first thing is that my daughter and I drove down to southern Indiana to see totality for the eclipse that just happened on April 8th, which was, I guess, a week ago today. It feels like forever. And that was like, yeah, just for anyone who's out there and has an eclipse happening in the near future that they can go see. I think like the next ones are like a year or two down the road in countries outside of the US, but it was absolutely worth it to see totality. It was really incredible and like incredible in sort of like a naturally spooky way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then my second thing is also from that trip, because I think I must have, when I was setting up our tent, like gotten into an entire nest of chiggers. So I am like the itchiest person alive right now.
Oh, no.
I got swarmed by these little mites and I'm just like covered.
Yeah, that's like one of my worst fears. Absolutely not. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Really hate camping for that reason. Really am terrified of the secret sneaky bug.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, because you don't feel it at all. And then, yeah, it was like one of the mornings, the third morning that we were there, I woke up and I was like, why am I so itchy? And then I was like, why am I covered in bumps everywhere?
Yep. So, no.
Yeah.
Not okay.
So I'm officially a bug spray, like the second I exit the car person when camping now, at least like when I'm south of Wisconsin. Although I guess it's like getting warm enough that now they're like starting to see them in Wisconsin itself. So I'm not a fan of that. Yes. But those are my spooky things. Which aren't that spooky, but that's okay. So Geo, do you have anything spooky that has happened to you recently that you'd like to share?
Yeah. Well, I did struggle a little bit to think of one, but then my mother has recently built a chicken coop And I went on a trip and came back and didn't realize that she had gotten chicks, and she had them like in a box set up in the basement because they were really little.
Yeah.
And I didn't know they were, I knew, but I forgot that they were there. Like she had texted the group chat, like the family chat about it. And I was like, but I couldn't remember that they were there. And so I did one of those things where I woke up in the middle of the night and like went to go get water, mm-hmm. and there was just chirping coming from somewhere. And I was like, what is that? What is that noise? It was one of those things like really late at night. You're kind of disoriented.
Yeah.
Had already been asleep, woke up and was just hearing chickens. Cause we have a dumbwaiter in our house. And it goes right down to that room where the chickens were. And that's right near my bedroom. And so I'm like hearing these chicks. Like just little peeps, like not, and it was very unnerving.
Yeah.
And so I think that was my recent spooky thing.
Okay. Phantom chickens.
Phantom chickens from the basement. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is actually funny because when was it? It was an episode or two ago. Or I was talking to someone recently about some like haunted road somewhere that like supposedly has ghost chickens that run across the road. So there you go.
Very good. Excellent. Just what we need in this world are ghost chickens.
Yeah. Okay. So coming back to Spooky Lakes, you kind of mentioned you got started doing this during the pandemic, which, you know, same, this whole podcast started the same way. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, TikTok was the same thing. I was like, well, I'm still like pretty bored, so I'll just make videos too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess, how did you get interested in lakes to begin with from like sort of the hobbyist standpoint? And where did the whole spooky theme come from?
Yeah, for sure. My interest in lakes was kind of unexpected. I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, where we have a lot of lakes. And when I moved to Ann Arbor, Michigan, when I was a teenager, I had never seen the Great Lakes before. So that was kind of my first experience in Chicago, mm-hmm. seeing the Great Lakes. And so I had one of those kind of adult appreciations for it where you don't see that type of thing as a kid. And so then when you see it for the first time, it's kind of a shock.
Yeah.
And I never lived on the Great Lakes until I moved to Milwaukee. And that was where I started to go to, I went to the beach every day for 90 days as part of my thesis.
Wow.
And I started to collect things on the shoreline. This was everything from natural to unnatural material. So I'm a really big fan of finding plastic, but I also collected, you know, shells and different types of driftwood and glass and all that type mm-hmm. of good stuff. And so then I was sharing on TikTok, technically the second video I ever posted went viral. Mm-hmm. And it was about this book that I had made about the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
So unlike most people online, I got kind of lucky because that very first video was super popular. And then my first like videos in general were about artist books. And I don't think that's kind of old Geodosaurus lore that people wouldn't know because it wasn't like I didn't associate it directly with myself. I just shared these interesting artist books that were really weird and funky and unexpected. And so a lot of them went viral. Well, you know, depending on your definition of viral, but sure. They got over millions of views in certain circumstances. And so it was kind of fun to share about artist books and then also share the process of the artist book that I was working on. So it's kind of fun. So I started my journey really as an artist on mm-hmm. online, and I made people angry because I had this book that was not a book that people were, you know, up in arms about in the comments. So classic TikTok energy where you say, look at this book, and people are like, that's not a book, and everybody gets mad about it. And so then I started to share my very first science video, also went really viral. So yeah. I kind of just kept getting lucky.
Yeah.
Like everything I tried just worked. It was kind of unexpected. Like putting my head at the bottom was more of a practical thing to do because I didn't like blocking the imagery behind me. And yeah. At that point, I don't even think you could shrink your head the way that you can now. Don't quote me on that. I'm also 35. So there's a really good chance that you could do it. And I just didn't figure it out.
Yeah.
So my very first Great Lakes video went viral. Yeah. And I remember being so excited because Brittany Broski liked it. And I was like, I have now peaked. Yeah. Like, this is peak 2020 energy is like Brittany Broski liking your video. I ended up taking that video down because it like got too viral. Yeah. And I had a couple like hiccups where I, you know, I said like the United States for the Great Lakes instead of North America.
Oh Lord.
And so and like things like that where Canada was like, we're coming to get you. We got our, you know, entire attack dog team to get you for not acknowledging that half of the Great Lakes are in Canada. It was also classic 2020 where it was like not a very, please don't go watch that video. It is mortifying to me now. It's up there still because I remade it.
Oh.
I remade it because I was that type of perfectionist where I remade it and said North America. And half the comments were like, wait, haven't we seen this video? It's kind of similar. Like, I feel like you would appreciate, like, you have to learn what works and what doesn't on TikTok. And I was very much throwing stuff to see what would stick.
Yeah.
And so then I made a bunch of Great Lakes videos, and then I made a Lake Baikal video, which went pretty viral. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of started to make lake related content.
Yeah.
And doing a lot of research, and you know, I made my mistakes here and there, but for the most part I really tried my best to be pushing factual content.
Mm-hmm.
And then on October 2nd of 2020, I decided, I don't know why, I couldn't tell you. Have literally, Megan, I have no idea about why I did this, but I was like, I'm just going to do a spooky lake month.
Yeah.
Where we do spooky lakes and talk about things that are spooky. And the first one was literally like, if you Google like spooky lakes or like weird lakes, like that's the first one that comes up. And I was like, all right. And I just kind of jumped in. And that one's kind of, yet again, like kind of mortifying if you go back and rewatch it, because I didn't even know that, about anyway. So it was just, I was inexperienced and I just kind of posted things that were fun and interesting. And, so the first spooky lake month was just kind of on a whim in 2020 during the pandemic. And I just kind of went with it and then just got really serious. 2021 was a great year because those were kind of all the best spooky lakes, or some of the better ones that were really fun and had great topics and great videos and stuff. And it's gotten harder to do because obviously I ran out of lakes a long time ago. Like, let's be honest. Like, I ran out of lakes immediately.
Yeah.
I still do lake stuff. I find specific things to talk about.
Yeah.
But I joke now in my comment section that anything wet flies. Like, somebody actually said in my comments in 2021, they said, oh, it's like haunted hydrology. And I was like, thank you. Can I have that? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, cool. And then I started to do 31 days of haunted hydrology just to like rope in anything wet.
Yeah.
And at this point, if it's wet, then it could be spooky and it could be on Spooky Lake Month. So, and nobody ever questions that. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Maybe at the very beginning people questioned it, but nobody does now. Like, no one ever says, wow, that wasn't a lake, Geo, or like,
yeah,
you know, this doesn't seem like lake related. And nobody even has any, they just go with it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But you sort of, I mean, you like invented the wheel here. So I feel like you just get to say what goes.
I get to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I get to do whatever I want. No, it's fun in that sense. And it is fun for me because it does mean that I like any, you know, I got to do like my favorite topic last year was Lowhead dams. That was like the best topic I ever, I just want to keep talking about Lowhead. I want to talk about Lowhead dams to everybody all the time. That is my favorite thing.
I remember that one being like particularly spooky. And I don't think like I had seen that type of dam many times in my life and like not realized, like just
had no idea.
How scary me too.
Yeah, and it was all because of a comment. I think half of the videos I plan and I intend to do. So I have a list of topics where I'm like, okay, you know, next year we're doing X, Y, and Z. And then the other half are because I make those videos the day of.
Yeah.
Like a crazy person, where it takes me 8 hours to make them. And every single day I wake up in the morning and that's that. I just wake up and start to research the topic and grab all the pictures and get all the content. And then I spend 4 hours filming it and adding stickers.
Mm-hmm.
And so half the topics are ones that people recommend. I just kind of, if people recommend something, I just go Google it, see what I can find. And then I kind of go from there. You know, so there's so many open tabs in that month.
Right.
So it's fun. It's not embarrassing. It's like a good thing to have on the internet because it's fun and educational and factual for the most part.
Yeah.
And
Oh gosh, no.
There's
no
only a few hiccups, yeah, along the way. So where there's topics sometimes where I really want to cover a topic because it's scary.
Yeah.
But then it can be a little weird to rate it. So sometimes sure. I give myself the ick a little bit where I'm like, man, I wish I didn't have to rate it, because if I didn't have to rate it, then I could like do so many things. But because I rate them, there's certain things where I feel like it's like it's not appropriate to cover.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the one that I regret from last year was the uranium mines in the Navajo Nation.
Oh,
I'm proud of that video. It's a great video. And it's one of the most viewed videos on that topic on the internet.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's getting that information out there mm-hmm. about how the uranium mining poisoned the water in the Navajo Nation mm-hmm. during like the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah.
And, but I had to rate it, and that gives me the ick. Why do I have to rate that? I don't want to. So I try to avoid those kind of topics now, because even though they're interesting, it like sometimes it's just too raw and not,
yeah.
doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna, one of my next question was come up with the ratings for each lake, but yeah, it's probably just more of a gut.
Well, thing. That's gut instinct. Yeah. People always get mad. Last year, me and my friend actually sat down during one of the nights of Spooky Lake Month uh-huh. and made a rubric, which was really fun.
Oh yeah,
to do. But I never used that rubric. I just gave like a gut. I like at the same time, people don't really understand that I've been like looking at these topics. I have I have 93 Nick 6 videos or something like that yeah. on this. And like 10,000 topics that never made the cut.
Yeah.
And so my ratings, everybody always thinks they're a little bit low in some cases. Uh-huh. And then sometimes they get a high rating just because, such as Lake Superior, which don't care. 10 out of 10 every time. Don't care what the topic is. It's spooky. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, mostly they're just gut.
Yeah.
Instinct on my part. And my I am the cold shell of a human being at this point. And so therefore some of my ratings are a little bit low. Yeah. This year, last year I actually did Jellyfish Lake as a joke.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, we're doing Jellyfish Lake, everybody. It's not spooky. Like, it's like barely yeah. spooky.
Yeah.
And I gave it a 1 out of 10 because I always have people being like, what's a 1 out of 10 lake? Like, what's this? Like, that's
yeah,
just like a common I get. Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, here you go. This is a 1 out of 10. And so many people in the comments are like, are you kidding me? This is like a 10 out of 10. This is the spookiest, scariest, weirdest thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, our standards are just completely different from each other, but that's okay.
Yeah, it comes down to presentation. And like, we will obviously in the show notes, there will be links to Gio's TikTok account so you guys can go watch them. Although, again, I'm sure there's a lot of overlap, so people already have come across them there or on Instagram or YouTube or wherever. But yeah, don't sell yourself short, because even those early videos were like, there was magic being made there. And I would say you sort of like set the standard for the rest of us like making spooky videos. So mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I guess other people do science, spooky yeah. science now. And I think that's really fun.
Yeah.
That it kind of branches out to just any type of topic that people find spooky. And they, like, I want to do spooky caves. I want to do spooky mountains. I want to yeah. do, you know, there's all sorts of, I feel like spooky ocean could just be its own topic. I creep into the ocean a little bit here with the spooky lake month, but I have never actually fully taken on the ocean.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of its own beast.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love that people just find things that are like, even Hank Green does videos that are like spooky science.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
kind of fun.
He started doing those last year or something. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's exciting. Anyway, I'll be like fangirling this whole episode. So sorry.
It's okay. I ramble. So don't get me started.
Okay. And I suppose I have to ask, just like for your curiosity's sake, but like, is the list for this fall like already in progress?
Oh, yeah. It makes me want to pull it up, actually. What's on this list that we got here? It's pretty, we got pretty good. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 topics on the list.
Okay.
A few of those are like, for sure, I'm so excited. Cannot wait to talk about them. Other ones are like kind of questionable. Like, is this actually spooky?
Yeah.
And then I try to do topics that other creators haven't. I don't like to do a topic that another creator has like had viral success on. But yeah, I have some fun ones I'm excited about. Ooh, what's my favorite one from here? Probably for next year, my favorite topic that I'm super excited to do is that black beach in Iceland where people get sucked by the waves.
Oh, have you seen that?
Fantastic. Oh, it's fantastic. I cannot believe I didn't do it this year, last year. So I'm really excited to do it next year.
Yeah.
It's maybe a little, I hope that I always like, I'm excited about topics and I'm like, nobody else do this.
Yeah.
Don't do this topic. I'm like, don't make a viral video about this topic, please.
Yeah.
I want to do it.
See, now I'll just bleep out that whole part in the episode.
No, it's fine. Can't I don't include care. It. Go for it. We'll see what happens. People will probably tag me in it because anytime that anybody does any type of video about anything wet, especially something that's wet and spooky, I hear about it.
Oh, I wouldn't know anything about that.
It's okay. I get tagged in all the videos. Megan, I know all your videos that have ever been wet related.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was like, I think I did the, oh my gosh, such a debacle. Yeah, I did like the Lake Crescent thing and everyone was like, this is just Gio's video. And I was like, I didn't know she did it. Like, I'm sorry.
It's okay. No. That's why I feel bad. That's why I try not. That's because I don't want to ever be in that position. So I try.
Yeah.
Not that it matters, Megan. I don't care. It's not about...
Oh, we talked about it before. It's fine.
That's the way the internet is. But
yeah,
certain people get really passionate about that kind of thing.
Well, you just have very loyal followers. They're looking out for you for the rest of us.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Okay, so that's enough of me bothering you about TikTok and the process. So we can actually talk about some spooky lakes because that's the fun stuff. So today we are going to talk about three spooky lakes, and yeah, I would think at least two of these are some of the favorites for you, and then one is one that I've been like desperate to talk about on the podcast, but haven't quite had a good excuse to do it yet, so I was like, this is my chance.
Yeah. No, you picked good ones. I'm excited.
Good. Okay, so, and like I said, feel free to chime in with whatever or not whatever. Okay, so we're going to start with Lake Superior because that feels right. And we'll just start with some facts about it and then jump into a shipwreck story. So here's a spooky thing that like initially jumped off the page to me was I Googled. I was like, I should have just watched your videos. So I think I like did notes and then I went back and like watched videos that you had made and I was like, Gio already said these in all of her videos, like why didn't I just do that to take notes, but whatever, made it harder for myself.
That's okay.
But anyway, if you search for Lake Superior facts, and I really want to know if this is like just me because like it knows that I'm gonna look for spooky things or if everybody gets this, but literally the top quick fact that Google provides for you, like in their little breakdown at the beginning, is survival time less than 2 hours.
Oh.
I was like,
oh, dang. Okay. I don't think I've ever mentioned that in a video. That's a good one.
Well, you'll have to like search for the phrase Lake Superior facts on Google. And I'm curious to know if it shows up for anybody else or if it was just me. But the top quick fact was survival time less than 2 hours. So I obviously clicked through that, and that's from the DNR website because they're giving you a warning that the surface water temperature doesn't typically get above like 55 degrees even in the summer. So if you're going to go swimming in there or you fall off your boat or whatever, like you're going to get hypothermia very quickly.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. So just so you know, that does not come up for me.
It does not.
See, so it's like just a- you. Yeah. I looked up Lake Superior facts on my like spooky Google knows that I like the spooky stuff, but yeah, it didn't come up. It's not even in like the top because it has those AI facts that pop up now with Google, and none of them are related to 2 hours of potential survival time. Yeah.
See, now mine is like, okay, so like I've got looking on my computer, I think I was on my iPad before when I was taking notes. But yeah, even like now on my computer, so different computer, one of the suggestive things is like survival time. How long can you survive in Lake Superior?
Nice. Yeah, that's I'm writing it down, Megan. I'm taking notes here for my videos, apparently. That's what this really is.
So apparently I've really like primed my Google to like expect the worst from me. But anyway, yes, you can get hypothermia very quickly. And I can attest that because I did my last 2 years of high school in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. So I've been swimming in Lake Superior, and it is chilly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is very chilly. That's close to a lot of shipwrecks. Sault Ste. Marie is like right on the border of the two lakes, right? Mm-hmm. It kind of, yeah. I actually don't really know anything about Sault Ste. Marie except for that if I had seen it on paper before somebody said it out loud to me, I would have never pronounced it correctly.
Yeah, no.
I would have been like Sault Saint something. I like.
Yeah, well, just make a video and pronounce it wrong on TikTok, and you'll go viral. Oh, because everyone love will it. Correct. Yeah,
eat that up. Mm-hmm. Mortifying.
Yeah, no, it's as a tourist, Sault Ste. Marie, I think, is a fun little city to visit and like, you know, watch big freighters go through the locks and stuff. But living there was like not the greatest thing I've ever experienced. But that's okay. Okay. So Lake Superior, because I know we have a few people who are not in the US or Canada, I'll be sure to specify Canada.
Yeah,
so right. Don't get in trouble. But it's one of the five Great Lakes, which to me, and I am very biased, I would argue they are the greatest lakes in the world. And that's a hill that I am willing to die on.
I could up you and talk about the African Great Lakes, which are incredible. Have you done research in the African Great Lakes? They have the same amount of water as the American Great Lakes or the North American Great Lakes.
Oh,
so and they're millions of years old. And they have environments and ecosystems as diverse as Lake Baikal does. So. Oh. So I don't know. I also love the North American Great Lakes, but I might be able to fight somebody about it in a debate on the opposite side.
Okay, well, someday we'll have the showdown.
Get on stage, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I just love it so much because my dad was in the Coast Guard, and for most of my life, he was stationed around the Great Lakes, and so I grew up around them, and a lot of my life felt like they were so like underrated and unappreciated, and people just didn't really appreciate like the magnitude of them. So it's been like finding your account on TikTok and like someone's like talking about the Great Lakes and people are really excited about it. It was like, this is the best thing that's ever happened. Yeah. And anyway, okay. So if you've watched Geo's videos, you already know this, but Lake Superior is the largest freshwater lake in the world by surface area. We will also talk about the largest by volume in a few minutes. but it contains an impressive 10% of the world's unfrozen freshwater. So, yeah, we've got a lot of freshwater in the Great Lakes region. And it's very, very deep. So at its deepest point, it is 1,332 feet with an average depth of 483 feet. So we're already sort of into that, like, just lakes are like inherently spooky because they're very big and very deep. It's like, what is going on down there?
Mm-hmm. And the Great Lakes have something that none of these other lake, like giant lake chains or lakes in general have, which is a shipping system. Like, Lake Baikal, the African Great Lakes, they don't have the level that the Great Lakes do for navigation.
Yeah.
And that's why Lake Superior is just wild, because you're not seeing any other freshwater body of water. Yes. But you're not seeing anything else like that really on the planet besides like the Black Sea, and those ones aren't freshwater, so they don't really count.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. Is like, I thinking about lakes, it's like the shipwrecks really are probably something that is a little more Great Lakes specific for that reason, because other places like don't have these huge these huge freighters going around them. So that brings us to our next point, which is like, I think that anyone who grew up around the Great Lakes or who has lived around them, you hear a lot of scary stories about terrible storms and shipwrecks that have happened. I would say that the most famous of those is obviously the Edmund Fitzgerald of the famous The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald Gordon Lightfoot song, which is a classic and played a lot in my home. Mm-hmm. That was the first, my second grade teacher played that song for us in class because we were doing like a little Great Lakes unit when I lived in Cleveland, Ohio. And that was like the first piece of music that I went home and like I requested that my mother take me to the music store so we could buy the cassette.
Oh, that's amazing. And it was cassette too, not even a CD. Classic.
Yeah. So I was like a super cool kid. but yeah, that's a classic. Yeah. So that's the one that everybody's familiar with. Like, and the story is like pretty well encapsulated within the song itself, which is amazing. And I also love that like the ship that was accompanying the Edmund Fitzgerald and like trying to help them make it to safety, the Arthur Anderson, is like still out there doing its thing. Like mm-hmm. 50 years later, it's like still going out in Lake Superior and a working freighter, which is awesome. But we are going to talk about the Kamloops shipwreck, which I know you really like.
I do. I love it. Yeah. And you got to shout out, speaking of like other creators that talk about amazing stuff on the internet, you got to talk about Ask a Mortician on YouTube. She does most incredible video about the Kamloops. So if you have never checked out Ask a Mortician, you got to look her up, because Caitlin Doherty is her name.
Uh-huh.
And her video on it is what inspired my video and what inspired a lot of content. And even now in my Spooky Lake book, you know, I feel like it's inspired by Caitlin.
Yeah.
Because she really went and did one on, like, she actually went to Lake Superior and talked to people about it.
Yeah. That's amazing. I don't know if I've ever watched her video specifically, or that video specifically, but I am familiar with her and she's, super awesome. Okay. There are about 10,000 shipwrecks in the Great Lakes. At least 350 of those are in Lake Superior, which is like a relatively small fraction of 10,000. But I would argue that it's probably the most notorious because you get these huge, vicious storms with waves that get up to 30 feet. And it's like worth just Googling Lake Superior winter storm waves mm-hmm. and like watching the videos that people take like up at Pictured Rocks and stuff of these like just enormous waves crashing onto the shoreline. It's terrifying and impressive and very interesting. Another thing that's important before we talk about the Kamloops is that the Lake Superior is oligotrophic, meaning that it is nutrient poor. And we have talked about this before in this podcast because I got really excited about Lake Crescent. And so we did an episode on Lake Crescent a year ago, I think. It might have been 2 years ago. I don't remember.
Are you talking about the soap lady?
Yes.
From Lake Crescent in Washington?
Yes.
Okay. I did a video on that my first year in Spooky Lake. So yeah, I'm familiar with the, yes. with that lake.
Yeah. So people will be familiar with the, yeah, that people sort of like turn into soap basically. But yeah, so Lake Spear is also quite cold like Lake Crescent. It has an average temperature of 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And at depth, because again, the average depth is almost 500 feet, the temperature is only a couple of degrees above freezing. So anything that sinks to the bottom of the lake, whether it be like, you know, wood or whatever's on a ship or bodies that sink down there don't decay like they normally would because you don't have that normal bacteria growth. So they can undergo this process called saponification, which means that the fatty tissues and skin are converted into this waxy soap-like substance, which is very spooky and people get like weirdly preserved. But one of the best examples of this is at the Kamloops shipwreck, which is located off the north coast of Isle Royal at a depth of 180 to 270 feet. Have you ever been to Isle Royal?
No, and I will never be going.
No?
Because I will never pronounce it correctly on the internet's, you know, according to the internet. I always say Isle Royale. Which is probably why all those videos on Isle Royale go video or go viral, because people have strong opinions about it.
Gotcha.
And then on top of that, I'm not like big into camping, and like I hate, we were just talking about the chiggers, I hate black flies.
Oh yeah.
And Lake Superior and Isle Royale has terrible black flies in the spring and like the early summer.
Yeah.
I'm out. No. If it, there's even a risk of having black flies during the summer, like even in August, no, I'm out, not going.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna mention earlier that I think like at least a few of the times that I like actually got into Lake Superior to swim was because like either the mosquitoes or the black flies were like so horrible when we were camping that I was like, I just gotta get in the water, rinse off, and get away from them.
Oh yeah. I did do a sea kayaking trip on the Apostle Islands, which is like, you know, not as intense as Isle Royale, but I yeah, I remember the same experience being like, please let me escape from all of the all these creatures.
yeah. So, but yeah, Isle Royale itself is like a very cool island. There are like moose on it and there's a wolf pack on it. Super awesome. But anyway, this will be a creepier story about it. So the Kamloops sank in a winter storm on December 6th, 1927. We're coming up on that 100-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. It wasn't actually found until 50 years later. So it was just lost for a really long time. Winters are very brutal. We're like way up north. So they didn't start finding bodies until April, and I think they were like still finding bodies until like June, but some of those that were recovered in April were found on Isle Royale. So it was survivors who had managed to make it to shore using a lifeboat, but then died later. That's just terrifying. That's the worst.
Yeah, that's like, the worst. Do you, the note that was like found months later, it's not like 100% confirmed that it's authentic, but the handwritten note by Alice Bettridge, who was the young assistant stewardess. And if the note is real, which it's kind of up in the air, it says, you know, I'm the last one left alive, freezing and starving to death on Isle Royale. I just want my mom and dad to know my fate.
Yeah.
So it's very.
Yeah. Yeah. And she signs off Al, who is dead. So yeah, she puts this note in a bottle, puts it into the lake, and it's discovered about a year later, 150 miles away at the mouth of a river by a trapper. So that is just like a horrific way to go. And I just can't imagine like, ugh. So spooky because of that. But the shipwreck itself is remarkably well preserved, again, because of the coldness and the low nutrient content in the lake. And I particularly love the picture of like the boxes of Lifesavers candies that were found.
Yeah, I love those. I love that picture.
Yeah, yep. But it's like also sort of like ironic to find like Lifesavers in a shipwreck. And also like I had no idea that that was such an old candy. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. No, it's cool.
But yeah, there was just like, there's so much of the stuff that was in the ship, and even like the food, like Lifesavers, is just like, it's just down there. And a lot of it is sort of like silted over, so it's got sediment on it. But yeah, like if you look up the pictures, you can still tell like, yeah, those are rolls of Lifesavers. At least one of the crew members never made it off of the ship, and his body, which has been saponified, so he has been, I don't know, basically mineralized into this sort of soapy, waxy substance, can still be seen floating in the engine room. He is nicknamed Old Whitey, but apparently people also call him Grandpa sometimes. And you can go visit him if you're a certified scuba diver. I was like, I don't know about that.
And you want to go down into the boiler room of the Kamloops shipwreck and have a white corpse floating behind you and following you because of the, you know, flapping of your fins.
Yeah, right. Like you create this current in there. And so he's like, yeah, he sort of like follows people around and it's not great. Yeah. Yeah. And I do think like it sounded, I mean, I think it's a popular spot, but you have to be like quite an advanced diver to be able to go down there, because that's pretty deep water and it's really cold. So
yes,
yeah,
yeah. I painted Mr. Whitey for my book. It's probably like the spookiest painting that I did in the book. I had to kind of find a balance between, like, if you actually Google Oedipus, don't do it. Don't Google that. It's a terrible Google. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's very gross. And so I had to find like a happy medium between doing something that was like absolutely awful and like kind of ghost like.
Yeah.
But it was a fun one to paint, because the like surrounded by all the boiler room apparatus was fun.
Yeah. If you are feeling extra morbid, like you can look up pictures of him online. Although I kind of keep seeing the same one, so I'm not sure that there's...
It's just his legs. Yeah. I went on a deep dive, Megan.
Yeah.
I went on the deep dive that nobody wants to go on to try to find a picture of more of him.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to be authentic in my painting and like... But at the same time, I didn't want to know. I was kind of in this like middle space where...
Yeah.
And, but yeah, he's now immortalized through somebody in the world, me, painted him. And so,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. It's kind of a wild one.
I'm glad you like told me that they were legs, because if you like the picture that does exist of him online, it's like a little hard to tell. I was like, I guess this is a body. Like, it's hard to tell what you're actually looking at. It's just sort of like,
yeah,
a white,
it's just legs. Blah. It's very white though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very bright white. So.
Yeah. And I think you can get, well, never mind. People don't need to know. You don't need to go look. It's fine. Don't Google it.
Yeah. Don't Google it. There are really some really interesting Adipocere corpses that are pretty famous, that can be kind of maybe less gross and more just, you know, scary and kind of fitting into that spooky and strange realm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, Adipocere is a really interesting phenomenon. It happens a lot in like wet graves.
Mm-hmm.
And so besides just lakes, you see it happen in cemeteries or that have flooded and experienced kind of a wet environment.
Okay.
Because you can get that same thing happening there as well. So it's not solely something that happens in lakes.
Huh. I had no idea.
Yeah. The oldest Adipocere body that was ever found was 400 years old.
Whoa.
It looks like a sheep, kind of. It's just the torso, and it has like just the stumps of two arms and two legs. It was found in Switzerland, I want to say, and it was kind of unearthed. And then when they researched it, they realized that it was like a very, very, very old preserved Adipocere corpse.
Whoa. That's wild.
In a lake. It was found in a lake, by the way.
Oh my gosh. Wait.
Yeah.
Is there a video about that one yet or no?
Yeah, I did a video about Adipocere in 2022. So in that video, I talked about the other corpses that are kind of famous for being preserved in Adipocere, and about that body, which I showed in the video, because I kind of don't take any prisoners at this point. I just try to give people warnings and then just show it anyway, if it's not too gruesome.
You know? Yep. Yeah. Understandable. Okay. Awesome. Well, people can go look at it.
Yeah.
Be a little extra morbid, or I'll just link to it in the show notes, because like, I don't care. People know what they're in for. Okay. Well, that is kind of all I have for Lake Superior. So we can move on to our next lake, unless you have anything that you're dying to add about.
Oh, no. I think by adding the sheep corpse, I have done my part.
You've done your part. Yeah. But so it is a sheep. It's not a person. It's a sheep.
No, it's a person. It just looks like a sheep. If you Google it. Yeah, it's really... Sorry. Just look up Swiss adipocere body, and that's what... Right. It's the first five pictures. It's very clear.
All right, well, I'm going to do it now.
I'm excited hear my loud reaction here. A live reaction.
Oh my God. The top goo of death solves mystery of headless corpse is the top.
I love it. That's such a great... Thank you for that article name, NBC News. I appreciate it.
Oh, whoa. I feel like I feel like I must have like seen this video because this image like looks familiar to me.
That's a good one though. It's like a good, and I was just, unfortunately, don't do this, but I was looking at pictures below that and it looks like there's a new one as well that was discovered. So that's kind of fun. It's like fun to like run across like new adipocere corpses in this world that have been preserved.
I'm Eliza. And I need you to listen to me. Have you ever felt so much that you don't know where to put it all? And you wonder if anyone would notice if you screamed? Because you want to. Scream for the ones they've hurt, the ones they've taken. Scream for yourself. These are my words, my story from my perspective. Because I know you'll hear other versions. Because I want you to have a chance to believe mine. Or at least hear it. If you're getting this, it's already over. But if one of you listens, really listens, it won't be for nothing.
Okay, so that's Lake Superior. Now we can talk about Lake Baikal, which... is like the poster child for thalassophobia when it comes to lakes. Mm-hmm. But this is, and I don't even like, despite being like a geology major and like I should know about this lake, I'm positive that I had never heard of this until like watching your videos.
So. Well, to be fair, I think most of my videos that are on more niche Baikal topics, yeah. I have to research them in Russian
to
find information about them. So like that video I just did on the Lake Baikal sponge.
Yeah.
I did most of my researching in Russian because I, you know, couldn't really find anything through American sources.
Gotcha.
Which is, so it's kind of interesting. If you want to do a deep dive on Baikal, you've got to go in because people in Russia love Lake Baikal and they're super passionate about it. And they have all these amazing articles about it.
Yeah.
English articles don't pop up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did not come across any Russian articles. So my dive was like fairly surface level.
Shallow. Unlike Lake Baikal. Which is unlike not a shallow Lake Baikal. Dive. Yeah.
The one like fun tidbit that I did find was that there's like some sort of local folklore that like Jesus came up and like visited the lake at one point. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't run into the alien conspiracy theory.
Ooh,
did you run into that?
I did not, but
I've never done a video on it, but I've been tempted just to like cover it just for fun.
Yeah.
But I don't really do conspiracy stuff. So I've been always on the fence about any type of adding to that, you know, fervor, but there is like a famous alien encounter in Lake Baikal.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got like the perfect place where like if you feel like you want to tell the story, there will be a good place for it coming up.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. So Lake Baikal is this huge lake in Siberia in Russia. And huge lake doesn't really do it justice. It's like the hugest lake. mm-hmm. Wikipedia notes that it is slightly larger than Belgium, which I thought was a sort of odd way to measure lakes, but maybe that's just the American in me. It is the deepest lake in the world at 5,387 feet, which is over a mile. That is bananas. Mm-hmm. And on average, it is 2,442 feet deep. It is also the oldest lake in the world. It formed 25 to 30 million years ago. To put that in perspective, most lakes on Earth formed less than 18,000 years ago, so during the last ice age. Lakes that are more than 130,000 years old are considered ancient. And for listeners in the US, which is most of you, Lake Tahoe is considered an ancient lake. Only 20 lakes in the world are older than 1 million years. Most of those are found in rift valleys, which includes Lake Baikal, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But they can also be in depressions created by impact events or volcanic eruptions. And the fact that it's in a rift valley is like, wow. I was like, I should have known about this as a geology major. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's okay.
I can't know everything. Yeah, so I said that Lake Superior has 10% of the world's unfrozen fresh water. 20 additional percent is found in Lake Baikal, which is as much as the Great Lakes combined. It's just, it's crazy. That's so much water. It's so
it's like it's impossible to even think about. Also, another fun fact is that it takes 300 years for a molecule of water to travel through Lake Baikal.
Yeah.
That's called the water retention.
Uh-huh.
Versus like Lake Erie, it takes 3 years for the water yeah. to travel
yeah.
like across that. And it's about the same amount of surface area. So
yeah,
it's wild.
Yeah. So the lake, as I mentioned, is contained within a rift zone. So it's within the Baikal rift zone. And a rift zone is where the Earth's crust is pulling apart or diverging. In this case, the continent of Asia is splitting apart. This is what would have happened between North America and Europe and South America and Africa to form the Atlantic Ocean much, much longer ago. And a somewhat younger example is Lake Tanganyika. I think is how you pronounce it.
Tanganyika.
Tanganyika.
Yeah, like Tanganyika.
I was like, if anyone's going to know, it's going to be Geo.
Yeah. It's the second longest lake in the world in Africa. It's part of that African Great Lakes system.
Ah, gotcha. So also Rift Valley lakes. But yeah, but that's in Ethiopia. So, and you know what's funny about that is I feel like you're the one person I can complain about this mm-hmm. is I feel like I have
I'm
seen...
ready for the rant.
I feel like about those lakes and about the African Rift Valley, like I forget how long ago it was, within the last few months, I saw so many videos going viral that like made it sound like it was like breaking news that like the continent
yeah, no,
was like splitting apart.
Well, and a lot
was,
of
like creating an ocean. And I was like,
yeah,
this has like been a thing for a long time. Like it's not like it's suddenly gonna like,
well, in the footage that they found, they were like using footage as like a, oh, look, it's splitting apart right now. And it was like footage that was unrelated to the African Rift.
Yeah.
It's like earthquake footage. Like it's ripping apart. It's like, nah, like,
yeah.
No. Like maybe one day it'll be a separate continent, but it's like, it's going to take millions of years and it's already been taking millions of years. We're in the middle of it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's been driving me crazy lately. I mean, it's a big deal. It's really cool, but it's not like breaking news. Anyway, the other really cool thing about Lake Baikal is, so not only is it like very deep, just the lake part, but there is about 23,000 feet of sediment that has built up at the bottom of the lake, which means that it is the deepest lake on Earth within the deepest continental rift on Earth. So it's just like this huge mm-hmm. crack that is slowly opening up on Earth's surface and like will maybe someday, millions of years from now, like become a new ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Geo mentioned the biodiversity before briefly, but it has very high and maybe even the highest biodiversity of any lake. The water is really well oxygenated. So lots of dissolved oxygen in the water, even very deep down, which apparently means that some animals can grow to unusually large sizes, which makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, evolutionary gigantism.
Yeah. So there are amphipods, which are like shrimp-like creatures, and planarians that are flatworms that like, yeah, like think the flatworms they said get to like 30 centimeters or something. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. it's like 30 centimeters is just over a foot. Something like that. I don't know.
Pretty big.
They're big and it makes me very uncomfortable. But basically, like, so this is the spot where I think the alien story could have fit. But like, it's like basically between this and like the terrifying depth, I just feel like this lake is like begging for monster stories, which like, I don't know if they exist like in like Russian folklore or sort of like Russian pop culture urban legends, but it's like, come on, like there's got to be stories about like, you could just think like some sort of kaiju would just come like crawling out of that rift anytime.
Yeah, for sure. There is like a lake monster. Oh, I feel like a lot of famous lakes in the world do have lake monsters. I've never done a video on it because yet again, I don't really cover that type of content, but I come across it every once in a while I'm Googling. And I think it's really interesting, but the creatures that already live in it are pretty creepy and strange all by themselves. Right. And some of the topics I've covered when it comes to spooky lakes for Lake Baikal, or spooky lake topics for Lake Baikal, is last year I did a video about the ice bridge that they built. They built a railroad across Lake Baikal in the winter of 1904.
Wow.
Where this like locomotives and train cars like crashed into the ice while they were trying to move people and an army across for the Japanese Siberian war that was occurring at the time. So that one was kind of spooky. And then I did a topic 2 years ago with Lake Baikal about the gold at the bottom of Lake Baikal, which is that's really the urban legend, I would say, is the most interesting because it's actually hard to pin down. I recently tried to dive back into that to try to like simplify and like capture the entire story about that because I did cover it, but I kind of covered it on the Wikipedia like level, like not deep dive. I kind of just like mentioned it quickly at the end of a video. And so I've been trying to come up with like a much longer video about that topic, but it is so complicated. And so like, it's all mixed up in kind of conspiracy, and the locals say that there's gold at the bottom, but then there's no evidence of it. It's like this really fascinating urban legend.
Gotcha. Yeah. I just typed it into Google real quick.
Oh yeah.
I was curious.
I was doing a lot of research in Russian again, because I was having trouble finding like good sources for it in English. That kind of told the whole story. It had to do with this war that was happening in Russia and the gold from the czars and like all this stuff. So it's a complex situation, but at some point or another, there's this Wikipedia page, which is about this great Siberian march that occurred, where these people that quote unquote were like carrying the gold supposedly walked across Lake Baikal and got frozen on the surface. But then I can't really find, and they like were like this frozen tableau on the surface and like all like fell in dead in the spring. It sounds like such a great story, but I can't actually connect it with a lot of other information. Why I really feel like it's an urban legend, because you can't pin down the truth with Russia in general.
Yeah,
it's hard to pin down the truth, but in this one it's really hard. And so maybe in the future you'll see a Lake Baikal gold video. Because I've been kind of trying to pin that one down.
There's definitely some stuff here though, like articles about legends about Lake Baikal and like a water dragon, lost gold reserves of the Russian Empire, a tunnel to the Neverland. Very romantic.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I love researching it, but it can be hard when you are like pilfering through Russian sites.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you just like use, because I mean, I guess I assume you don't speak Russian. Maybe you do. Do you just like
Google Translate? No, I just use Google Translate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you look up English to Russian and then you plug in like Lake Baikal gold.
Yeah.
And you take copy and paste that into the Google, then all of the, you can't read the websites as they're popping up. But if you just kind of go through them systematically, then when they open, Google Translate automatically translates it.
Yeah.
And then I just use that. So I'm kind of iffy still. I try my best to, you know.
Yeah.
Be accurate, but it is a little hard with that. With those Lake Baikal topics, it's a little bit hard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Well, okay. What's the gist of this alien story? Like, if you had to give the clip
version. It was just some, I don't know. This is the geo version that is, when people tag me in terrible TikTok videos about it, like clickbait TikTok videos, I get tagged in those.
Uh-huh.
And so I watched those videos, and I think I've watched a few videos about it on YouTube, and like just never really had enough motivation to ever do my own video on it, because I just, you know, it's just one of those circumstances where there was a couple divers that were in like fully suited up underwater, and they just like encountered like a giant form, which they claim was an alien. So if you look up the Lake Baikal aliens, you get like these, they were called the Lake Baikal swimmers. It was kind of this weird, that's a weird name to maintain any type of creepiness.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then they just claim to have seen that. So it's just like, it was just a classic like UFO situation where somebody just spotted it, and the story kind of stuck and has been part of like the urban legends of Lake Baikal.
Yeah, yeah. And if you were to like debunk it, it was probably just like a couple divers who didn't have their oxygen flow turned up high enough or something.
Yeah, right. Yep, they're just having a little nitrogen narcosis there at the moment. Yeah,
that's what I would say. That's what I assume.
Well, it was a long time ago. It was like in the 60s or something. I don't remember the 1982.
Yeah,
was the date that the humanoid creatures that the Russian Navy divers encountered. So it's very Googleable because it's one of those things that just people like to repeat it and kind of and like. This is just one of those words of mouth that just doesn't give. And now with like AI art, there's all this like all these AI versions of this, which has popped up. Oh, but I love some of the pictures that associate with this. They're so weird and creepy. They've got these like jellyfish heads on them. And I'm just like, love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Navy divers of Russia.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And then the other thing that I think is just fun, not spooky, about Lake Baikal are the Nerpa seals. I feel like I still saw when I Googled that they were like the only freshwater seal, but apparently that is like not true anymore.
Debated topic.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I said that in my first ever Lake Baikal video. I said they're the only freshwater seal, and you know, that's a tough one because there are four other types of seals that have been separated from their saltwater ancestors.
Uh-huh.
At this point, my most recent video was about how that, you know, could have happened 15,000 years ago during the last ice age, but it also could have happened earlier than that.
Yeah,
like up to 100,000 years ago. Does that qualify them as a you know, freshwater seal? I'm not quite sure. It's kind of an interesting debate because I don't think there's really an answer that will satisfy every party.
Yeah.
But the Lake Baikal seal has evolved to live at Lake Baikal. It has special traits that are different than any other seal on Earth.
Yeah.
We don't know their saltwater ancestors because they've been at Lake Baikal for millions of years. They have like different types of teeth so that they can crunch on those giant amphipods.
Yeah.
And they're smaller than any other seal on Earth because they adapted to live at Lake Baikal specifically. And so it's just a little different than the other seals in freshwater lakes, like in Alaska and Finland and Quebec and, you know, all those different seals. But those seals are also really special and, you know, unique. We wish we had some seals in Lake Superior. That would have been that everybody would freak out if we had Lake Superior seals. They would be the mascot of like everybody in the Midwest, right? Would freak out about these seals. And so I completely appreciate this idea that the seals that live in Lake Saimaa in Finland and live in Lake Iliama in, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, in Alaska. I see what you're saying. Like, I would be extremely passionate about them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a bit of a tough one, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun topic. Yeah. The Nerpa seal is amazing.
Yeah. And they're like very adorable too. So,
yeah. And their population is stable, which is kind of surprising because they are like hunted, but because like Baikal has kind of become so important to the Russian people, I'm not sure how much hunting is actually permitted of the Lake Baikal seal, but
yeah,
they have about 100,000 in their population. Yeah. So they're doing okay. What's a bigger threat is climate change and pollution and agricultural runoff and loss of ice, because the seals rely on the ice to be able to procreate.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I'm rambling. No, see, watch fine. Out. Don't get me started about Lake Baikal. I could just go on forever.
No, I mean, it's just like, it is like, it's such a cool place, and it's just so, yeah, it's just so deep and so old. And yeah, I'm just like, I assume that there, because you've sifted through it, like there must be so many more weird stories, like maybe in Russia about it or whatever. Oh, but yeah. I'm just like shocked that I haven't come across more of it, because it just seems like begging for so much of that.
Well, you got to look up the Chagan, Chagan Lake. Okay. You got to look up Lake Karachay. Okay. These are the staples of Russia's spooky lakes. Okay. Russia has a lot of great spooky lake topics. And most of it connects to this idea that, well, one, both of those lakes I just gave as examples are radioactive.
Oh, yeah,
so that's spooky in and of itself. But also just the way that Russia tries to hide all of this information about their different topics. It makes it kind of I'm doing the Valley of Death next year, which is in Russia, which is a great one as well. So you should look that one up. That one's more science related. So that's why it's cool. It's like a volcanic valley that has gases in it. And so people who travel there like can die if they breathe in too many of the gases.
Yeah.
Russia's got a lot of good stuff, but some of it is hidden behind like hard to find media.
Yeah. Well, Valley of Death is a good segue.
To other types of death.
Yeah, into our next lake, which is Lake Nyos. And this is the one that I've had this written down for years for the podcast, because I was like, we got to do it. And like, we did a spooky volcanoes episode, but I was like, we didn't get to this one. So I'm super excited. Mm. What happened at Lake Nyos in 1986 is like one of the most terrifying volcanic disaster stories that doesn't even involve a volcanic eruption. It's weird and really creepy, and I shouldn't sound so excited because it's like, it's really morbid, but
I mean, it is one of the most interesting scientific phenomenons, but it has barely happened to our knowledge.
Right.
Like, only happened twice, three times maybe to our knowledge. And the second time it ever happened living memory, it killed so many people. And so, yeah, it is fascinating.
Yeah. So it's unusual. And it's just like, it's very fascinating and very spooky. And it's like, yeah, it's like one of those stories. Like, as a geologist, like, I took a volcanology class, and and I'm a volcanologist by training, but it's like just one of those classic stories that you get told for like volcanic hazards. So anyway, I will point out though that like, I feel like it's a little inappropriate that the Oregon State University volcanology team like called their article about it "Silent but Deadly."
I mean, accurate though.
Accurate.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe find a little better.
I mean, it also, the comparison is actually not wrong in some ways. I mean, they're both gaseous references.
Yes. All right. So the lake is located in northwestern Cameroon in Africa in the Oku volcanic field. It sits within a type of volcanic crater called a mar, which is formed when shallow magma comes in contact with groundwater, which magma plus water equals like a very violent explosion. Like, even though it's a relatively small amount of magma, you get a very violent explosion. You blow this crater out, this kind of shallow, wide crater out called a mar. And so the lake sits inside of that. And so we're in a volcanically active region. So again, like another reason why I've been dying to tell it on the podcast, like volcanoes are my thing. But up until the night of August 21st, 1986, Lake Nyos was just this very peaceful, beautiful blue lake that had several small villages located in the valleys below. So picture like the lake is sort of like up on a hill, and there's towns, villages in the area below. So around 9 p.m. that night, villagers said that they heard a rumbling sound and noticed a tall fountain of water shooting up from the surface of the lake. Then forms a huge white cloud that was hundreds of feet high over the surface of the lake, which began to flow down into the surrounding valleys. So what they didn't realize with this is this cloud wasn't just any cloud. It was carbon dioxide gas that had been dissolved in the water at the bottom of the lake and was catastrophically released when the water column suddenly turned over. So likely due to something like a rock slide disturbing the surface and the depths of the lake basically just caused the whole lake to turn over, and all this like cold water from the bottom came up towards the top, and essentially like opening a can of soda, you open it up and the carbon dioxide gas, the carbonation in it, starts to exsolve. It starts to come out of solution and form bubbles. In this case, a whole lot of bubbles that turned into this huge cloud of gas. So carbon dioxide is a very common volcanic gas. It makes sense for there to be vents in a volcanically active area, including at the bottom of this lake. Lake Nyos is quite deep. It's almost 700 feet deep. So it's also quite cold at the bottom. And so with the pressure at depth, you can dissolve a lot of carbon dioxide in the water, and it just gets trapped down there until something disturbs it and causes this like turnover event. Carbon dioxide is about 1.5 times heavier than air. So the cloud that was released started to descend onto the surrounding villages and instantly suffocated over 1,700 people and thousands of livestock animals. And as far as I understand, like, their positioning suggests that people just died like where they stood or where they laid if they were sleeping.
Yeah, because it was at night. And so a lot of people were close to the ground while they were sleeping, which is why so many people died. And the people who did survive were not laying on the ground.
Yeah. So it's just like, you just like instantly wipe out 1,700 people and just like silently with this gas that comes flowing into the valleys. There were a few survivors. I guess some of them didn't even wake up for a couple of days. Like, they passed out, but didn't wake up until a couple days later. And like, their stories are just terrifying because it's like they wake up and just like everything and everyone around them is dead. And that's horrifying. One of the creepiest details that was described by survivors and rescuers was that the villages and the area around it was just like absolutely silent, because like, it wasn't just the people that just like dropped dead. It was also birds and insects and all the small animals that were in the area as well. So like, even on the corpses that were left behind, like, you didn't even have buzzing flies because they had also just been instantly killed in this event. So yeah, it's so horrifying.
I always mark it as like, it's up there with Lake Kerche, like one of the spookiest.
Yeah, it's like, it's like a 10 out of 10 spooky event. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's like the number, it's probably like the poster child of spooky lakes is Lake Nyos.
Yeah.
Because it truly just killed a bunch of people in a way that lakes shouldn't be able to do.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember being so excited when you did it.
Yeah. I had trouble illustrating this one for my book because the gas is invisible. And so it was kind of awkward to paint it, because I was like, okay, well, I'm going to paint it as if it's not invisible, like as gas, like as clouds of gas, but it was like, they wouldn't have even seen it coming. Right. Cause it would have just, and it wouldn't, in the United States, when you have a carbon monoxide, a gas issue in your house, it's usually, it smells like gas because we purposely add things to our gas to make it smell. So that you sense it. And that's not the case. It would have just been felt like normal. You would have felt totally normal and just fallen asleep.
Yeah.
So. Or like been asleep and then passed away. So
yeah.
And the thing that scares me is that there's other lakes that have this same. The funny thing about it, these volcanic lakes, it has to be very specific type of circumstances, like you were saying, where it has to be really deep and the bottom has to be really cold. and the gases have to get trapped. There are three of these lakes that we know of. There's Lake Manoon, which I might be saying wrong. There's Lake Niles, and then there's Lake Kivu. And Lake Kivu is so scary because it's enormous and it has millions of people living on its shorelines. And so if it were to ever happen there, and they know that this lake has trapped carbon dioxide at the bottom. And so there's like, they put in some like precautionary piping and something like that, where they like are trying to like release the gas from the bottom safely. But yeah, it's like a very, it's a scary, like, I feel like Goma, which is the city located next to Lake Kivu, is just in such a, it's in a tough position because it's got Lake Kivu on its side. And then right next to it, it's got Lake near, or Mount Nyiragongo, which I don't know if you've covered that in your spooky volcanoes, right? This lake, this volcano that has like the most liquid lava in the world that can chase people 60 miles per hour. It's like the only lava in the world that just like, it goes fast, right? And so they're just fully surrounded by scary stuff.
They've chosen quite the place to settle down.
It's tough.
But arguably you could say that about a lot of places,
like,
you know, like everybody, the I think there's like millions of people living in the region, like around Naples, and it's like
that was so iffy. Exactly.
Naples is pretty iffy. Like anywhere around like Mount Rainier is probably sort of iffy. But you know, whatever. So Lake Nyos is just really fascinating, and it's just one of these like infamous volcanic hazard stories because it was such a rare event and was so devastating, and and just taught people like, here's the thing that can happen at these lakes that they didn't realize. But luckily now at Lake Nyos, a degassing system has been installed to slowly release CO2 at the surface. So that prevents that at least from happening there again. But yeah, that's Lake Nyos.
That's what I've been so
excited about.
Truly one of the best topics. Yes. I was amazed that for my book, I was amazed that like I had 25 topics that I did for my Spooky Lake book. And I probably could have done another 25, you know, because there's just so many strange and weird lakes on this planet that are just lakes of, and the thing is that river, all these other bodies of water, they can't really compete. The ocean can't even compete when it comes to just what happens to water when it's like kept like landlocked, and the strange things that can occur where it can become acid. It can become so salty, you know, that it's like poisonous because it's so salty. You know, lakes that they preserve things in ways that rivers and the ocean doesn't. And so, lakes are the best because they're just, you know, they're so spooky and so weird. And so many of them hold such strange and unusual secrets. So,
Well, that feels like a very appropriate way to end this episode. I appreciate you joining me so much. I would love if you could just remind people again where they can find you, remind them of where they can find your book and when it is coming out, and like anything else that you want to plug or say or whatever before we wrap up.
Well, Spooky Lake Month starts in 169 days from today. Woo-hoo! So you can look forward to that. We're like halfway through the year. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram. Not so much YouTube, but I do compilation videos of my content on YouTube that's hilariously viewed more than I would expect, but okay. And I have a Spooky Lake book that I wrote and illustrated. So I did gouache paintings for the whole book. So it's kind of a fun collaboration of all my interests, like spooky things, science, and painting, kind of all together. And that's coming out in September, on September 25th, which is conveniently right before Spooky Lake Month begins. And so it'll be fun to have another year of spooky lake related topics, and obviously anything wet that is weird. So it's going to be a good year.
That wraps up our episode on spooky lakes. If you liked this episode, hit subscribe and share with a friend. Check the show notes for links to all of our social media accounts, our Discord server, and Patreon. If you have any questions about previous topics or ideas for future episodes, email us at spookysciencesisters@gmail.com. As always, thank you for listening and stay spooky.
Spooky Science Sisters is a proud member of the Evergreen Podcasts Network. For more information or to check out other shows, please visit evergreenpodcasts.com.
Did you guys hear about that couple that went on vacation and one spouse murdered the other? In fact, the entire vacation was planned just so that they could make the murder look like an accident.
Ah, so like a slaycation.
Oh boy, sounds like a fun new true crime podcast to me.
On every episode of Slaycation, we'll examine true cases of people who were killed while on vacation.
Was it murder? Or just a horrible accident? That's up to you and the law to decide.
But either way, if you leave for your vacation in the plane and come home under the plane, you've definitely gone on a Slaycation.
Join us every week for a fascinating new episode.
911, what's your emergency?
But make sure to pack your body bags,
because getting away can be murder.
This is Slaycation.